My youngest son, Josh, and his wife came to visit us this last week. Spent a few days, a few precious days before they went back to Southern College. By the way, Adam, welcome home from college. Oh, and Sarah too, of course. But I was just seeing Adam as he came in there. He's grown another inch or two, I think, since I saw him last. One of my son's favorite pastimes is golf. So we went out to Cherry Island, I don't know if you know where that is, out toward Antelope, to play 18 holes. And while we played the 18 holes, the ladies of the family opted to go shopping, of course. No, they actually went horseback riding as well. Had a great time. Now, I'm not much of a golfer or a shopper, but riding around in a little golf cart for 4 hours with your son doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And it's a great way to spend some quality time with your kids. Now, you golfers out there in our congregation will know that there is sort of an unwritten rule of golf etiquette that allows you to allow your partner an occasional something that they call a mulligan, a do-over. You grant that out of the kindness of your heart once or twice around. I need one for every hole. Then Chuck will vouch for that. Amen. What do you know, Herbie, about this? As I thought about the concept of a mulligan, though, it dawned on me how great it would be if I could have a mulligan, a do-over, when it came to raising my kids. If only God would allow me to go back in time and to make a few tweaks in something that I might have said or done. Wouldn't you like that opportunity, dads? Moms? This being Father's Day weekend, I decided that in preparing for my sermon, I would go through the Gospel of John and I would look up every reference in that book that includes an interaction between God the Father and God the Son. And the concepts that I discovered there made me ache, literally ache, for not having done this before when I was a young father. I needed a mulligan. It's getting far down the road for me now with my children already launched, but I have a whole mess of grandchildren coming along. For most of us dads, there's still a lot of parenting and grandparenting time ahead. And so here today, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to share with you a life-changing experience that I had in the Gospel of John this past week. Some very practical, life-changing principles in the model that God the Father and God the Son established in their relationship while Jesus was here on this earth. There's an outline in your bulletin that you can take advantage of, and I think that you're going to want to do that, dads and granddads. But moms and moms also, and grandmas. So let's look first at how God the Father related to His Son. And the first text I'd like for us to look up together is John 3 and verse 35. Would you take your Bibles, please? We're going to be working just out of the book of John today, except for one passage in Matthew. And so John chapter 3 and verse 35. Principle number one, the Father loves the Son, it says, and has given all things into His hand. As I was reading John 15, verse 10, it talks about how Jesus just basked in His Father's love and in His approval. Do you parents love your children? Of course you do. Love lays the foundation for the way we treat our kids, doesn't it? And the building blocks of that love foundation would be the loving words and the loving deeds. And I thought about my own struggles over the years with the loving words part and the importance of being able to verbalize. You know, as a pastor, you're supposed to be good at verbalizing. I discovered that I wasn't very good at verbalizing love to my sons. I wish I had done a better job with that. A lot of men have difficulty saying, "I love you." Jesus heard those words from his Father, and it meant all the difference in the world. "I love you, son." If we really love like God loved his son, then we will relate to our children, I believe, in the same way that he related to Jesus while Jesus was on earth. So let's look at some of the ways that love played out in Jesus' earthly life. Would you look at verse 36 with me, just the very next one? John 3, verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has" what? "Everlasting life," it says. "And he who does not believe the Son does not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." Wow. Pretty powerful thought there. God was angry with those who mistreated, did not believe in, abused his son. Fathers go to great lengths to defend their children against anyone who would abuse or bully them. I remember how my father came to my side one time when some of the kids from school had been invited to go on a trip with this man who we thought we all knew, and it turned out that he was a child molester. And we had no exposure to that type of thing when we were 10, 11, or 12 years of age. And we discovered what that was like when we would go with this man, and then when we came back and reported it, I remember my father was one of the first people to go and to confront that gentleman. Wow, what an eye-opener. There are parents in our congregation who have pulled their children out of schools in the area when they learned that their kids were being bullied at school. And they enrolled them here in Orangevale because they found this to be a safe environment for their kids. That wasn't an easy thing to do, but they did it anyway. And who is the greatest abuser of our children anyway, if it isn't Satan and Satan's followers? And so how critical it is that as parents we are constantly vigilant to protect them from Satan's temptations. Our oldest daughter, we were just visiting her a few weeks ago down in Santa Barbara. She's still finding her way back to God. Please remember her in your prayers. But it's a beautiful thing. We're very proud of the way she is raising her two young boys, 3 and 6 now. Do you know that she will not allow them to watch television or to play video games, by and large, because she's so concerned about the violence that she finds there? And so she's very careful and selective about what she exposes them to. Number three, principle number three that I discovered in John 5 and verse 19. 5:19. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself.'" How much can the Son do of himself? "Nothing," it says, "but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So Jesus, the Father, taught his Son, Jesus, what to do. One of the best things that fathers can do, I think, is to teach them practical skills, how-tos, how to pray, how to be polite to the ladies, how to fix things, how to build things. Teaching our children, our sons and daughters, what to do. And then John 11 and verse 41, we move along here quickly. Time gets away from us, doesn't it? John 11 and verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. You remember the story of Lazarus? And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have, and what does your Bible say there? You have heard me. You have heard me. God listened to his son. How important is it for parents to listen to their children? Is that a valuable skill for parents to learn? I think so. It's a critical skill. And it's probably the thing that I failed at the most in raising my kids. Now, my wife will tell you it's still one of my weakest areas. Many men are wired to be problem solvers, not listeners. Give us a problem and we'll stay up all night trying to fix it. Right, guys? But some things don't need our solving as much as they need our listening, especially when it comes to matters of the heart. Listen to your children. And then Matthew 3 and verse 17. This is the one deviation that we're going to take to another passage. Even though the passage is actually included in John, it doesn't give the wording, and the wording is crucial. We also find it in Luke 9 and verse 35. But Matthew 3 and verse 17, Jesus coming up out of the water, you remember there, the baptism, sees the Spirit of God descending, and suddenly, 17, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? I am well pleased. I am well pleased. Affirmation is a far more powerful tool than censure. And that's why human parents will be quick to praise their children, whether it's done in private or whether it's done in public. I remember we were visiting my wife and I, at least I think Ivy was along with me at the time, visiting in a home, not here in Orangevale, and they had just a little baby, a little toddler, just started walking. So cute. And as this little baby would go around, just kind of, you know, holding on to things, and she would start to reach for something, and then you could hear her murmuring to herself, no, no, no. No, no, no. And she would back up, and she would go and toddle over and start to grab something, and then the light bulb would go on, and no, 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 and she would back up. And it was like her whole life was sort of characterized by the no, no, no refrain that was running through there. What if parents were to look for methods of discipline and correction that focused on the positive rather than the negative? I was quick to do too much of don't do this, don't do that, instead of affirming and figuring out other ways of doing it rather than telling them what not to do. And then John 3:16, my favorite text, probably yours too. We don't even need to look it up, do we? Let's repeat it together, shall we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the thought that came to me was that God sent his Son on a mission. He sent his Son on a mission. Christian parents, I believe, realize that mission service is a high calling, and they will encourage their children to do whatever it takes as a reflection of their love to reach out to other people. If I could have just one mulligan church family, it would be this. I would have gotten my children much more involved in mission-type activities, whether it was feeding the poor, neighborhood cleanups, charity walk runs, mission trips, whatever it would take to get them out of themselves and involved in the lives of other people. How Jesus related to his Father. Second part here. John 3 and verse 34. John 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. So whose words did Jesus speak? He spoke his Father's words, right? Human children often find themselves repeating the speech and the mannerisms of their parents. If that's the case, how important is the kind of words that we speak? The expressions that we use? Because we're going to find our children repeating those very things, aren't we? We're going to see ourselves mirrored in the lives of our children. And then John 8 and verse 55. Moving quickly through this section as well. John 8 and verse 55. But you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his words. Jesus told the woman at the well that you Samaritans worship God, but you don't know him. Is it possible that we could be worshiping here in this church week after week, just like the Samaritans, but not know God? How do you get to know someone? Really know them? There's only one way, right? Only one way. You've got to spend time together. Luami has been spending, one of our Bible workers has been spending the last few months with us, and he's been carrying on a long-term relationship with a beautiful girl up in Vancouver, BC. He has not had the opportunity to spend time with her except on the phone. This weekend, he's up there. Is he excited? He drove all night Thursday night to be there, like 14 hours, so that he could spend time with her. There's only one way to do it. We have to spend time. Take a quick look at this video clip, would you? Go ahead and play it if you would, please. If you'll dim the lights too, thanks.
Dad. You don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity. And I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. Many of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.
Amen. John 8 and verse 29. Verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Children who know, love, and trust their parents are going to just do naturally the things that they want them to do. They're going to follow in their parents' footsteps. John 12 and verse 27, we'll skip that next video. Thanks, guys. John 12 and verse 27. Our next clue here. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus turned to his Father for comfort, didn't he? Our children come to us for comfort. We're needed in their lives. What a valuable tool we are to represent the Father when we're hurting and giving that example. And then John 13 and verse 20. John 13 and verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. As I was thinking about that when my son got married here this last year, when our children marry, their spouses get a whole new set of parents. Us. Isn't that right? And in the same way, John 14:23 says, on the same topic, 14:23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. In other words, we as parents will love this new member of our family. We will take them in. They will be part of us. So how valuable is it then that we choose the kind of people that we want to be part of our family, and that parents, we reciprocate and love that new person that's being welcomed into the family, just as God loved the people that listened to Jesus and he brought in to the Father. And then one last one, John 14, 13. John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so Jesus lived to honor and glorify his Father, which is the fifth commandment, isn't it? God's children will act in such a way as to honor their parents at every stage of their life. And I was thinking about people in our congregation who, instead of choosing to have their parents spend the last part of their life in a retirement or convalescent home, they actually have brought them into their home and sacrificed incredibly to take care of their parents in the same way that their parents, when they were young, took care of those kids. That's living to honor and glorify our Father. And so that was what I came up with, folks. That was my list. And I realized afterwards, wow, this is a high bar that Father and Son have set for us as human parents. It's easy to get discouraged when we fail at following that beautiful model. But we won't get down on ourselves if we remember that God is always willing to give us a mulligan. If we make a mistake, if we lose our temper, all we need to do is ask for forgiveness. And we can start over again. He's quick to forgive and to allow us a do-over. And you know what? Our kids and our parents are usually just as quick to give us another chance as our Heavenly Father is. So don't be afraid to go to them and say, I'm sorry. I really blew it that time. But by God's grace and with your help, I'll do better next time. As a father, God's legacy to us is His amazing grace. What will your and my legacy be to our kids? Let's pray, shall we? Well, Father, thank you so much for being this kind of a father that we see depicted in the book of John. These principles are eternal principles of relationships. And you showed them so beautifully in your relationship with Jesus. As fathers, as mothers, as grandparents, help us to take these and distill them down and make them our own, and then put them into practice as we relate to our kids, because they are so precious to us. And even more so to you. Give us this kind of legacy that our children will follow in our footsteps, that they will be saved in your kingdom because of your entrusting them to us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, going with us as we leave this day to enjoy our families and to enjoy your church family. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.